Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting you closer to the TV shows you love. I'm Ashley Ray, a comedian, writer, and former TV critic, and each week my friends, fellow comedians, actors, writers will drop by to dive into the best TV shows we're all talking about right now. All right, let's get into it.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
Hello there, it's Jamila Jamil. Are you by any chance listening to this podcast promo while out on a walk? If so, good for you. That's going to make both your mind and your body feel better. On my podcast, I Weigh, this month, we're going to be exploring mental health and talking to amazing guests about other things that you can do to make yourself feel better, with guests like Simon Sinek from The Optimism Company, therapist Vienna Farren, comedian Neil Brennan, and more. Listen to I Weigh wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob Hayes, welcome to TV Club. Listeners, Rob Hayes, he's a comedian. He has a new album out called Frontin'. He's been on so many things that I love. He's one of my favorite LA comics. Check him out if you have not heard him already, but like you've probably seen him on all the things that post comedy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here. I'm a TV lover. I'm in a good mood.
Good. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I watch a lot of old TV on YouTube and stuff. I can find people recorded and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, that's the best way to watch some of the old, especially black shows, because they're not like on Netflix and stuff. And it's like, oh, if you want to watch 227, you have to watch it on YouTube.
There's big gaps on Tubi. They only have the season with Stoney Jackson and Barry Sobel on Tubi right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like, what rights do you have to pay for? Well, who, someone give them the budget to buy the rest of it. I don't know. They don't have the money. They don't. they're just going to have somebody remake it.
Those 227 lawyers, they don't play.
No. but I was going to say, it's been a tough week for comics. We found out that JFL is bankrupt. It's not happening this year. That was shocking. But it's been great for us because we have new albums out. So, hey, the world keeps moving. Tell me about Frontin'.
Frontin' is me delving more into being vulnerable in a more personal side. And so I'm basically, you know, I have my B Rabbit moment where I'm addressing something that if someone else brought it up, it would hurt me to the core. But it's kind of my origin story. It's kind of my story through being bullied and feeling alienated and being alone, and how that helped me find my way on stage and doing what I do and love now.
Yeah, I love that. You also released a video of it on YouTube, right? So this is a dual experience.
Yeah, I personally prefer the audio experience. To me,
same.
That's my favorite. I like using my imagination. I like not necessarily staring at a person talking, you know, just give me their ideas, put their thoughts in my head.
Yeah, let me think about it and laugh about it. That's why I also did an album, because I was like, I like the listening experience. But then I was like, oh, that's cool that you also use the video.
Yeah, so for those weird creeps out there that like watching stuff on their televisions, you know, you can watch it on YouTube.com. It's a website where people share videos, Chocolate Rain, cats playing the piano, people coming back from Iraq. You know, there's all kind of stuff on there, but also front.
Yeah. where did you film it? Where'd you tape it?
I taped it in Atlanta the same night as the Renaissance World Tour. Big panic mode. Really thought that Beyonce was gonna ruin my the biggest investment I ever made into my career. Didn't look at her calendar at all.
I mean, who would think
that was a big mistake. But we ended up selling out two shows on a Friday night. and Beyonce ended up adding shows and, you know, people.
It worked out for you and Beyonce.
To switch, they switched and, you know, some people missed it and they just caught it, you know, on YouTube. But yeah, so that's
so there's a lot of overlap between your audience and Beyonce's audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like there to be more overlap.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like a beehive. I feel like my bug of choice is the caterpillar, but I would like for the caterpillars and the bees to get along for sure.
I like that choice.
The first frame of the special says Beyonce was a very important part of this recording. Unfortunately, due to time restraints, we can't show any of her performance, which is a ripoff of Richard Pryor Live in Concert, because his opener was Patti LaBelle, but they don't show you any of Patti LaBelle. And me being a huge Patti LaBelle fan, it's like, I want to see her kick her shoes off and go crazy, and then Richard Pryor have to follow that.
He has
with
to follow that energy.
A pioneering comedy special. Like, a lot of the tropes of comedy specials come from this performance that was after one of the greatest singers, period.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're going to get to a place where Beyonce is opening for you.
I don't know. Nah, I did not say that for the record.
If you can't
decipher between voices, just know that
we sound
Robert
very similar.
L. Hayes did not say that at all. And I would never.
Beyonce is going to be like, that would be an honor. I would love to open for you in her soft Southern voice.
If Beyonce was just ever in the same building as me, I would be hyped. Anytime we've been in the same building, I've been hyped. And she's been
You've been
very
in the same
away.
Building as Beyonce.
Yes, Madison Square Garden and the Allegiant Stadium.
I went to Renaissance. So yeah, I guess I was in the same building. Yeah.
State Farm Arena. We've been in the same building a few times now.
Yeah. You know, that counts. That's fair.
Yeah.
So what has it been like to have the album out? Both of our albums kind of came out at the same time. It's been so great to see us dominate the charts. It's also so interesting how comedy charts work, which I didn't really know.
And I was like, do I want to pay Billboard for the official
one?
They just show you who's number one.
Who's number two? It's like it's Bo Burnham for
it's
all
like
the years.
Weird Al right now. Yeah. The Weird Al fans saw us making rumbles and then they organized and was like, all right.
Weird Al kept coming back up the chart. I was just like, who is out there? Like, I need to listen to this Adam Sandler comedy CD from 1999. And like,
yo, the Gaffigan heads, you can only suppress them so far, and then they're gonna start.
They just came
crazy.
Roaring back. I was like, what are okay, they're here. They're listening. The Gaffigan heads. I even saw Dane Cook pop up there for a little bit, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, the Sufi is very strong.
Yeah. You know,
with the people.
They still laugh at the BK Lounge joke. Which, you know, that was a solid joke. I always
it was
that
a time.
One.
It was it, a time.
Yeah.
You know.
That car alarm
pouring
joke.
Water on himself on Comedy Central. It was a time.
He was living it up. You know, and that's what the comedy charts are, apparently, is people
that's what the comedy
reliving
charts
the
are.
Early 2000s, and then a new thing comes out and it's like, oh yeah, this peaks for a bit. But yeah. Was there anyone you wanted to take down? Personally, I was gunning for Adam Sandler.
I wanted the number one on iTunes. I really was gunning for that. I think that was part of the reason for the Saturday release, just so that I wouldn't be on a Friday in the mix with new music and stuff. And so I really thought I was gonna get. I got a number one on Amazon, which was cool. So
there
I got the screenshot, and I was able to flex a little bit. But yeah, I was hoping for that iTunes number one.
But yeah. It was hard. I don't even know who had it. It was some like white musical comedy dude. And
he's still up there. He getting bread. Yeah.
I don't know.
If I see him in the streets, I'm gonna ask
like,
to hold something.
You go that guy. And I was I looked up what he does, and I guess it's just like, I don't know, Irish parody songs or something.
I know he got $9. I know that for a fact.
And he's getting those royalties.
If not, he need to talk to somebody. Because somebody getting $9 for sure.
Okay, I'm ready to get my probably $4.50. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Share that 10% with a manager. Let's go. But has it been fun just seeing the response?
Yes, it's been a very positive. The biggest compliment is people tell me that they've rewatched it. And to me, in this climate and with everything that's going on, and we're bombarded with new stuff every day, to me, I think that's the ultimate compliment, that somebody's like, I wanted to see it again. And, you know, I was very intentional about some of the choices I made. And there is a through line and a motif, even though I seem very random. And so I think the first time watching, it's like, okay, these are just his funny things. And then, you know, if you watch it again, you're like, oh, this is all sort of related. We're all like, we're putting together a puzzle and we don't even realize it.
You know? Yeah. It just kind of builds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When people have been like, oh, I listened to the album like twice. I'm like, there's so much you could do. There's so much happening. You know how many TV shows came out this week that you could watch? Right. And you did that. Wow.
I asked for 1 hour. You 2 hours? Okay.
Right? That's so many episodes of TV. That's 4 whole episodes.
Of a comedy.
Of a 30 minute sitcom.
All comedy means is 30 minutes.
Just 30 minutes.
It doesn't mean funny.
It
just means
it's 30 minutes.
22 to 30 minutes.
You can finish it. You watch 2 episodes and do the dishes. Yeah,
it could get real intense in those 30 minutes.
You can mostly cry, but
it's a comedy.
Everybody's like, yeah, it was funny. So what TV are you watching? Let's get into the watch
list.
What
am I watching?
What are you watching?
Right now, this week, BMF came back. So, you know, I'm caught up with that. You talk about the only
innovators. Are you big on like
the
Power Universe?
I'm big on the Power Universe. Raising Kanan is incredible when it comes to period pieces and attention to detail. As far as costuming, I don't know who their costuming person is, but they on point. Like, I love the tone of the show. I love the character development, the performances. I hate that it's called Power Book. I wish that Raising Kanan was totally separate from Power, because it is above and beyond anything else in the Power Universe, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, and I do think people kind of ignored it a bit because they were like, oh, it's just kind of Power, whatever.
Book 3? I didn't even know these were books. It was not given based off a book at
no,
all.
Like, no.
Now they're called books. But
it was
TV show.
It was not literary in any sense.
I'm not reading book 3 because book 1 and 2 are shaky. I do like Ghost. But no, Raising Kanan is it. BMF structurally gotta be one of the funnest shows. Sometimes the intro music don't come until the second act. It's really just like,
that's how you know it's good.
Charlie Wilson starts singing and you're like, wait a minute, we're 15 minutes in. One third of this episode is over with, and now I forgot y'all had a theme song. This is crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I watched Deal or No Deal, Bankers Island this
How's
week.
How's that been? I've seen some previews for that, and I'm like, why are they on an island? What does that add to the drama?
Well, they figured out that they could drop suitcases out of a helicopter. So what they do is you got to do challenges to get the suitcases, and then you play the game with the suitcases.
Okay.
And then it's like single elimination, like a Survivor. Whatever's win in the final games goes into a giant pot that could be up to $200 million. So they're talking with numbers that you've never seen before on, you know, a game show. But I think it's because one person wins the pot of a whole season of a game show.
Yeah, that's how it should be, probably. That's why. Like, did you watch The Traitors?
I didn't watch The Traitors.
Like, that way.
Nor do I know what it is. It was referenced on a show I was on last night, and it got a big laugh. And I was like, I don't even know what streaming service that comes on.
It's on Peacock, which is probably why you haven't heard of it, because nobody knows what Peacock is doing.
Well, Deal or No Deal Island is also on Peacock.
Oh,
that's why I saw commercials for it. Yeah. To watch Deal or No Deal Island.
Oh, Traders also has challenges. Okay. But it's like in the end, if there's a traitor left, they get all the money. And so I'm usually just rooting for the traitor because I'm like, this is really not enough money to split between multiple people. Like, why would I want to split 100K between three people when I could be a traitor and get all of it?
Is it like the mole? Is there like a sabotage involved?
Kind of. It's like every night there's three traitors, and every night they murder someone and then they have to act normal during the day. But at the same time, there's these challenges where they get money, but there's like cheats where instead they could get other benefits. But if they went for it, everyone would be like, oh, that's suspicious. So you can come off looking like selfish and like you're a traitor, but really it's like, oh no, I wanted a shield so I couldn't be killed. And people are just always, you know, questioning your motives. And you try to be like the last person left with another faithful. So you split the money. But usually the faithfuls are stupid and the traitors win.
So it's kind of like Mafia a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like Mafia, like, but you got to act it out.
Yeah. And with reality star celebrities.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So if you like The Real Housewives, there's some of them in there.
All right. All right. Okay. That's dope.
I mean, it doesn't sound as exciting as dropping suitcases from the air.
It might be. There's some trickery. I feel like there's some trickery in the Deal or No Deal, but it feels like it's very contrived. Like they got one guy on there that was on Survivor, and everyone's like, I don't trust him.
And he's trying to do Survivor things
on there, but then everybody else is like either just a normal person that would be in Deal or No Deal, sad story contestant. And then there's Claudia Jordan, who was like, I used to be a case girl. Now I'm fighting
on the other side of
dollars.
The game.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you're not even on the regular, are there case girls on the island?
There's like one that, and she's also dropping suitcases out the helicopter. There's one girl and one guy. There's a case guy and a case girl.
I like that. That's a quality. 2024.
Yeah.
We can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Feminism.
Also, they talk to the banker on a cell phone. There's no landline phones because they're on the
island. Wow. Because, so that's... Look at the future. It's here. The future is female, and it's here, and it's now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We did it. Are you a big like game show person?
Yes. I try to watch Jeopardy whenever I can. I don't have an opinion on Ken Jennings and Blossom, you know, like
yeah,
you know.
I'm not a Blossom fan, and to me Ken Jennings doesn't have a flair about him. It just feels very like substitute teacher vibe, but you know, people like him, I guess.
Which when you say you're not a Blossom fan, you mean for hosting Jeopardy?
Yeah, or
you
or don't I know like, I love Blossom as a show.
You don't like a white girl doing the Running Man in a tutu to open a show. Cause you talk about cranking it. Blossom was cranking it at 7:30 at night on Monday.
And she was doing it.
Yeah.
And she had the hat on and she Blossom, all respect. Malia, I don't even know her actual name, but whatever it is.
That's why
the actress,
I say Blossom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did not like her hosting. She had something about her very smug. So
I like the when it's a rap question, Ken Jennings is just trying to tread water and get out of there. When it's a rap question, Blossom might have an idea of what's going on, be able to throw a little joke out there or something. So I did respect that.
That's true. That's true.
But you know, we wanted Jordy LaForge up in there. You know, we wanted LeVar Burton to be doing his thing as the host. That's what the people wanted.
Yeah. And I would be watching way more if that was the case. But they messed up on that.
Yeah.
I've been watching this game show called The Wall, which it's hosted by that guy who was canceled. So maybe I shouldn't be watching it, but it comes on before
Chris
Saturday.
Chris D'Elia has a game show?
Yeah. You guess the age of people Snapchatting you. You go through their profile and try to see if there's any mention of their homecoming, anything about senior prom.
I grew up watching The Fairly Odd Parents. Oh man, they old as hell.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
You ever watch The Cube?
I tried and truly did not understand that show.
D-Wade hosts.
It's, yeah.
on Turner Broadcasting System. And basically, you see a challenge and then you got to do it. I think in The Cube.
Yeah. Is that what it was? I was always like, is this like a trivia thing? Or if you don't, you go in a cube and you have to do stuff.
It's not, I don't think it's like Double Dare rules. I don't think you ever can like do something that's not a physical challenge. It's just like a ton of not messy physical challenges. It's a lot of ping pong ball tricks that you got to do to try to win money.
All of these shows always sound exhausting to me.
Yeah.
Do you want to do them?
I would be down to do The Cube. I'd be down to do, I would love to be on Jeopardy. I would super love to be on College or Celebrity Jeopardy because that would be a little easier. I kind of dominate when those are on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Celebrity Jeopardy. I'm killing it every time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Celebrities are so stupid.
I would need to be next to a celebrity that would get me frazzled. Like, it would have to be somebody like if it's somebody from my childhood, like if it's me versus Jaleel White or something, ooh, then I might be... I saw him on 25 Words, the Meredith. I was on a plane and I was like looking at the selected channels they had, and they had this I guess New York, I'm not sure what station, but Meredith was on there, Jaleel White was on one team, and then I can't remember who the other celebrity was, but yeah,
he was having a little bit of a little comeback. And do you watch Dark Side of Comedy on Vice or Hulu?
I record every Dark Side of Comedy.
Okay, we are absolutely talking about this because you are the first guest to come on the show who also watches it. Congratulations. You win a prize. Matt, we're going to send him a gift. So that you saw the Family Matters episode where they're like, Jaleel White was an absolute like menace.
Oh, no. I haven't watched them. They are documented and they're in my records, but I haven't watched them because some of them make me so sad.
Oh, yeah. It's so sad.
I can't watch that and then leave and go try to like get where that person was, you know?
But, yeah. And there's comics we know in it, which makes it even sadder because you're just dang, that's okay.
But I gotta find this Family Matters episode.
I
gotta watch it in the daytime.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. I love Family Matters, and they get into it, and they're like, "Oh, Jaleel was the monster. He was the horrible bully on set. He's the reason that the little girl, the youngest sister, disappeared because he yelled at her all the time and like would bully her and basically was like, she can't act. I'm funnier than her. Get rid of her and let's focus more on me. And then one day, the little girl was just like, can't wait to, you know, go, we're going on hiatus, but what, when we'll be back to film soon. And everybody was like, oh, honey, you're not
good thing
back.
They didn't have social media then.
Yeah.
Good thing she wasn't like saying that in front facing into a camera. Right. And then everyone was able, would be able to, like, you know, post that video and stuff. When Jaleel would yell at her, would it be in the Urkel voice or the Stefan voice?
That's a really good question. That's a good, yeah.
Bruce Lee voice?
In the episode, the actor who portraying the, you know, portrayed by an actor, whatever, recreating scenes, does go with, I would say, the Stefan voice.
Okay.
Yeah. But he would
takes
just
his,
like,
glasses off and then starts yelling.
You, like, in front of audiences, he'd be like, "This little girl fucking sucks."
What?
And he made her cry, and she made her cry, and everybody would be like, "Yo, dude, just calm down." And he was like, "I'm the show," and it just eventually got to the point where, by the end of it, everyone was like, "We just hate everything they're doing, and they're just doing ridiculous shit because they don't care about the family anymore." But
they moved from Friday to Saturday. Yeah. So I feel like when that happens, you're already like, okay, people are not going, even little kids might be out on a Saturday night.
Yeah. Saturday is the death call. Like, you get scheduled Saturday. Yeah. It's like, they're canceling you. I'm sorry.
Then they move networks, then they move to CBS.
Yeah.
And then it's like, they don't even have a TGIF. they following Mego, which was the show where Bronson Pinchot was an alien.
Yes.
And the kid from, Jerry Maguire?
God, that kid. I have not thought about this show in years.
Come on. Where you think the Migos got their name from? They was watching Mego.
I mean, yeah. I truly have not thought about that show in so long.
You haven't thought about the CBS hit. When they acquired Step by Step and Family Matters and thought they were going to shake the table?
does not ring a bell for me often, but I am glad to remember
Cody
list, now.
Step by Step.
Oh my gosh, right. Ed Begley Jr. was in it. Oh, right. They called it Block Party.
Block Party? That's what it was called? I think I remember a promo of them, like, dancing.
Oh my
god,
yes. I was obsessed with this because Eric Von Detten was in it, and I was obsessed with him. He was the guy from Brink and So Weird.
Okay. Yeah,
but
yeah.
But he was only in the pilot, and then I was like, I don't care about
where'd he go?
He was probably like, this is embarrassing. I'm gonna go be a voice on Recess.
I was all about this show. I'd get home from football practice and it would be a Friday night. And then I'd be like, oh man, there's a show about the alien on TV right now. And some part of my subconscious of me as a baby remembers Perfect Strangers for some reason. So I had, I was like, I know that guy from somewhere. I didn't put it all together until The Surreal Life came out.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I was like, oh, that dude.
That guy.
That's getting on Peppa and Janice Dickinson's nerves and stuff.
He was annoying.
Omarosa. Yeah.
He was,
I know that dude.
Yeah. That's the classic TV connections. Mm-hmm, is there any other current stuff you're watching? You got to catch up on Dark Side of Comedy. I got so excited to talk about it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. After Dust to Diamond, I was like, I need a break.
Oh, it is the saddest show. I'm trying to think if there was even one happy episode, and it's like, the Maria Bamford episode wasn't that sad.
It had
a pretty happy ending. It was like, therapy's good.
Yeah, I remember opening for Maria. I love Maria Bamford. Yeah, I would hate for, you know, a teaser into a commercial to make it seem like something bad was gonna happen to Maria. That would have me like spiral. Yeah.
Yeah. It goes into like her, she had like a breakdown when she was doing those Target commercials and she talks about that. She's in it. So that also makes it seem better because you're like, well, clearly she made it through. She's okay.
She might be one of the few people that was able to do her own dark side of comedy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In her episode, it was like after Chris Farley, after Phil Hartman, after all these people, it was just terrifying. And then it was like, okay, this is okay.
I hope she knew what the show was. I hope she didn't like watch the rest of the season and be like, oh, I made a mistake.
She's just like, I thought I was doing like a fun thing on comedy.
Did they think I would die before this came out?
I'm okay now. Like,
this is supposed to be posthumous? Why didn't anybody tell my people that this was supposed to be a posthumous show?
it's good. But is there any other stuff that's on now that you're watching?
Let's see. Other stuff that I'm watching that's current. I watch a lot of sports, so that gets in the way. I've been watching The Daily Show and seeing what they're doing.
I've been watching The Daily Show just on the Mondays, just for John. But
I've been watching the Mondays and some of the other days just to see what goes on there when John's not there, when the boss is away, you know, just to kind of see what everybody's up to.
Yeah, having the anchors rotate has been cool, I guess. I don't know. How are you feeling about
it? But also it's like, man, like every show should do that. Every show should have the star of the show 1 week and then like everyone else try to do the show in their absence. Like this, like, cause Jon Stewart's been doing it since like 97. So it's not even fair.
Yeah. He came back
on Tuesday.
Yeah. It's like, how do you follow that? He came back and it was like, he had not missed a beat. He was just like, and I know, this is what I do. And
And it makes me feel like, oh, this is what I felt like when I used to watch it. It doesn't feel like he's missed a beat. It also doesn't feel like it's that, you know, it doesn't feel like he's added anything, you know, but I had such high reverence for it before that I do feel like it's returned to that, you know, esteem. Like I can't wait to hear what he's going to say over the weekend. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to share a show on my watch list. I'm watching Masters of the Air, which listeners, you know, because I talked about it last week with Chris Gethard, because it's an old white dude show. It is very much for old white grandfathers. It's about World War II and bomber jets and the military. But every preview, and there's tons of like famous actors in it, like Austin Butler, every famous person you can think of is in this show. And in the previews, they kept showing all these black people. And I was like, when does this happen? I watched like 8 episodes of the show, no black people at all. Guess what? The black people are finally here, you guys. If you're watching and you were waiting for the black people to show up, they are here. We got the Tuskegee Airmen, and they
Red
came.
Red Tails in the building.
They're in the building, and they came to get bombed out of the sky. It is and they die mostly.
What?
They truly bring all the black people, and you're like, finally, all the black people, and they're like, we're about to go on our deadliest mission. This is a crazy. Half of us probably won't make it. And then you're like, so now it's just 3 black people. Okay.
Wait, is that even historically accurate?
I don't know. I don't really check the history when I'm watching it. I just kind of let it vibe. They spent a lot of money on it, so I just assume it's probably right.
I thought the Tuskegee Airmen's whole thing was that they were like undefeated, never lost a plane or something. They would be like,
these guys
won't let black people in the sky unless you guys are perfect. You got to be twice as good.
I feel like
that's every Tuskegee Airmen movie.
They definitely lost like multiple planes. Like immediately 8 dudes died, and they were just
I feel like that's not right. I feel like that's wrong.
It feels racist. It does.
Do you remember the Tuskegee Airmen movie from the 90s? It was a straight to HBO film that, you know, got a limited theatrical release so that it could play in 2 awards.
I mean, this sounds like the kind of thing my mom would make me watch. Because she'd be like, you're going to learn.
My parents didn't know, and then we caught it at the end. So I never saw the beginning, but I did see the end, and it was like, pay attention. And I was like, yeah, we're in the middle of a thing.
I did see this. And I remember because it has Cuba Gooding Jr. and Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't know how. I guess Cuba, this is like around Jerry Maguire time. So he might be. Yeah.
Yeah.
He hadn't stepped on chairs yet.
No.
But
yeah.
You know, like at the Oscars. But like, oh, wait, no, that was that other guy.
Didn't Cuba jump on, like,
did a flip or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't. I mean, I'm not seeing anything here that's like, and a lot of them died. So Masters of the Air, possibly racist and lying. That's on Steven Spielberg. He's the producer. So.
Oh, and George Lucas made Red Tails. So maybe he's taking shots at his homie. Maybe it's some like, oh, yeah, remember that movie you tried to make about the Tuskegee Airmen? Guess what they're going to do on my show?
On mine. They're all going to immediately die and crash into
the
ocean.
When you get into Private Ryan's house, people die, buddy.
It's a pretty, I mean, other it's a good show, I guess. I don't know. I just keep watching it.
Okay, what's it on?
It's on Apple TV, so that's
Apple TV.
Also probably why you haven't heard of it, because they don't tell people about their shows. It's, you know, I mostly, it's a good show to have on when I do my crossword in the evening. I'm truly just an 80-year-old man now when I watch TV, and I just put on my war show and do my crossword.
You doing the big body crossword or you doing the mini crossword?
I do both. I do the mini archives because I've done like all the minis for the past like 2 years, and I just kind of work my way back. And then I do the big one every day.
I've moved to Connections. Oof. I'm on the
I love New York Connections. Times at,
so yeah, I'm on the Connections side of things. But yeah,
I love Connections. Have you tried Letterboxd? Fucking hate that game.
No, I just know the website.
Yeah. The website, amazing. Great. The New York Times has a stupid fucking game. If you scroll to the bottom of the app, it's down there with all the other shitty games. And it's called Letterboxd. I play this game every day for hours. I get obsessed with it. And it's like a random Scrabble, like just block of random letters. And you have to connect all the letters and use them making two words and only two words. And you have to find the two words that will connect all these letters. And it's like,
are the words a title of a movie?
No, it's just random words. It could be any words.
Nah.
It's literally, you just like look.
Call it Letterbox and then it not be a.
It has nothing to do with
a 16x9 film.
No. Well, the letters are on a box. And so you can't use letters on the same side of the box.
Don't try to be logical with me with the name. No, if it's called Letterboxd, it better be about people reviewing films and I match that
and
to the film.
They always kind of will mislead you because you'll look at it and be like, oh, you know what? This kind of does look like it could say it. Maybe the words are Eternal Sunshine and you'll do it, but there will be one letter that doesn't work with it. And you're just like, that can't be it. And every time I look up the answer, I'm always wrong. I have never gotten it. It is just a psychopath's game. I hate anyway.
Do they don't tell you?
No, you don't find out until the next day. And then they tell you the answer for the previous day. But also here's the thing. The game is basically try to use all the letters in five. So it's easy to win if you're doing it in five words, because you can, it's not really that hard. But like the real win is getting it in two. But even if you get it in two, there's no special celebration. It's not like, congratulate, you did it in two. You get the same message as if you did it in five. It is so, it just makes me so angry. Because it's like, even if I did it, even if I figured it out, I just get the same answer. I just get the same, congrats, you did it.
You know the dude that like made all the cards flip around when they made Solitaire from Microsoft? You know he was high-fiving everybody like the first time you showed him that. Like, and this is what happens when you win.
When you win.
And, like, all the cards moved around. They were like, yeah.
And I needed that payoff.
Promotion.
That makes you want to play the game. But, anyway, that's what I do when Masters of the Air is on. You know,
okay.
It's a show to watch. Yeah.
I'll check it out. I do want to see the Lawman with Martin Luther King. I do want to see that. Yeah, I have a list of shows that I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get around to that eventually. I do like Apple Plus though. I like the show with Samuel Jackson and Dominique Fishback.
Yeah, I didn't watch Severance. That one, but I heard it was good.
It was good. I watched it before everybody was on Dominique Fishback and Swarm and all that. But yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Swarm was good.
Yeah, I liked Swarm.
She deserved more nominations for that one.
Yeah. I watched the Vince Staples show. I loved
the Vince Staples show. I was so upset it was only like 6 episodes or something. It was such a short season. And he did such a good job with the world building. I was like, why would you not do at least 12 episodes?
Yeah. I hope he gets a way bigger order for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's Netflix. You have the money. Mm-hmm. You have the budget. I also want to shout out Extraordinary season 2 on Hulu. Have you watched this?
No.
I truly say, have you watched Extraordinary? It's about just a British girl going through her coming of age moment. It very much makes sense that you're not the demo for it, but
okay. So is it like a prequel to Fleabag? Is it a pre-bag?
Oh, it's a pre-bag, and then it also has this fun element where it's a universe where everyone gets powers when they turn 18, but it's just like normal. Like it's not like there's superheroes really. It's just like, oh, this, and everybody, it's like stupid powers, but some are good. Some people are like, oh yeah, I can teleport, I can fly. And some people are like, my power is that I can poop out candy. Like,
okay. That's like living in the United States though.
Yeah.
You turn 18 and you get the power to vote. Make sure you guys go out and vote. You know, we have some really good choices this year.
Some just great choices. If you like things that are old, you're going to love this.
Right. If you love World War II films and TV shows, you're going to love this election.
You're going to love the candidates we got. But yeah, this girl never gets her powers. And so it's about her being like, I didn't get my power. What's wrong with me? And yeah, and it is actually,
she's
it's funny.
The sun from Up, Up and Away.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, you know, actually a 20 something who's like having sex and drinking and is like, if I'm not going to have powers, I'm going to be wild. And everybody's like,
okay,
you're
so
weird.
Is she trying to raw dog her way into the powers? Is she trying to get some sexually transmitted powers?
She's like, maybe if I live, if I experience things, I can trick my body into making my powers work.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Anything else you're watching? Any documentaries?
Any documentaries? I haven't watched a doc in a minute. I feel like the Greatest Night in Pop Music was the last doc I watched.
Yeah.
I thought Lionel Richie was being very shady to Stevie Wonder until I saw Stevie Wonder behave in the flesh, and then I was like, okay, they weren't putting on. I thought there was some hate there for a second.
It was.
And
then I saw it was
Stevie
a little
Wonder
like
clowning.
It was a little like, and Stevie would never answer our phone call, but he would call us and just expect us to show up. And it was like, yeah, it's Stevie Wonder. What?
Yeah. He came like, all right, let's write the song. It's like, we already wrote the song, you know?
Which I'm like, maybe it would have been a better song if you had waited for Stevie.
It won Song of the Year and Record of the Year.
That's hype. Yeah. That was hype. Okay. Yeah, yeah. You get all the names. Of course, it's going to, you know, you got Cyndi Lauper fans buying it. You got Bob Dylan fans buying it. You're going to have the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But do you listen? Is that a song you return to often?
We sang it when I was in church. We sang it for my first communion. And I do remember, like, you know, seeing it on TV and stuff, I guess for like the 10th anniversary or like 20th anniversary and stuff. But, you know, I've never streamed it. I've never been like, okay, like, you know, I got the aux, let me play We Are the World.
No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But like sometimes I watch, you know, I watch them all. I watch Hearing Aid and, I watch We Are the World. I watch Self-Destruction. I watch, you know, like all any posse cut with where they got like, you know, You Will Know, you know, any of those songs where it's like everybody's on the song.
Yeah.
I watch them all back to back to back. Y'all in the same game.
I do. Yeah. I do enjoy that. I do like that. I want to talk about the documentary, The Program on Netflix. Do you like cult docs?
I'm really behind. I'm really ignorant when it comes to cults.
There's a lot of cults. It's a lot to get
through.
There's
a lot of
days.
Cults and a lot of cult docs. And I feel like whenever I start one, I'll put it away and then not come back.
Yeah, so and now, it's yeah. Because like, now they're all like 8 episodes. It's like a whole thing to watch a documentary these days. This one, I recommended it last in another episode, and I watched it. It finally came out. It's not, I would say technically it's not a cult doc. It's about like those teenage reform schools where like the parents kidnap the kids and send them to a school in the middle of nowhere. And it's, you know, so I wouldn't say necessarily cult because everybody there knows they don't want to be there, but it's made by some kids who like got out and are now finding all this evidence. And I would say that not everybody can make a documentary. Some people don't know the meat, like, you know, the behind this that goes into it. And a lot of the documentary is her just kind of yelling at her dad. And it's
gotcha.
Which is so fair because, you know, fuck your dad. He sent you there. But she also spends like a whole episode being like, they lied to all these parents and they gaslit the parents and the parents had no idea what they were signing up for. And it's like, okay, so stop yelling at him. Like he literally is saying like, yeah, I believe their lies. And now I see it was lies. And then it was 6 hours later and I finished watching it. So, you know, let me know what you think if you also were watching that doc. But
okay. I had some gripes with a doc. I had some gripes with a Thriller 40.
Oh yeah.
I feel like Nelson George.
Yeah.
Where I feel like he was tracing a lot of what Spike Lee was doing with Bad 25 and Motown to Off the Wall. And there was a lot of stuff in there that I think we knew. I think, you know, I think for that time in Michael Jackson's life, the timeline is so important because so many things happened back to back. And when I looked it up, I was like, dang, they really should have iterated that. Thriller happens in December, it comes out, and then he gets burnt, and then the Grammys, then they go on tour. And I feel like they say all these events, but they don't say like how, you know, like they happen. They never mention Vincent Price. And it's like, how do you talk about Thriller and you don't mention Vincent Price? You know, there's so many things where they like, you know, they went, like they traced a lot of what we had in the Motown. And I think you got to have that for Thriller. You got to have some of that intro and stuff. But I think there's so much going on. We didn't get any of the stories of Freddie Mercury and Mike. They were supposed to be doing a song together. They fell out because Mike kept bringing his llamas in the studio. Well, you know, no one's talking about that. And so I'm too into Michael Jackson for you to not go all the way.
Yeah.
And we have been waiting on Spike to do it. You know,
I feel like there hasn't been a good Michael doc. I feel like.
Oh, you should watch Motown to Off the Wall.
Okay.
It's incredible. There's note Michael Jackson's notebooks, stuff he wrote to himself in it. There's him talking about the different dancers that he watches, like all his influences. It breaks down how him doing the Wiz in New York, summer of 77, informs, you know, like off the wall and him becoming a man and how he met Quincy Jones. The whole, yeah, no, it's really good.
I mean, this looks amazing.
A Showtime doc. It was a Showtime doc. It's not on Showtime, Anytime, Paramount Plus. It is on YouTube.com, the same website that has Frontin' by Rob Hayes. So, you know.
That's where all the good stuff is.
Just make a playlist with those two, and then that's 3 hours right there.
I did want to ask, so do you watch, like, a lot of, like, old classic stand-up specials? Are there some you revisit, or do you try to, like, keep up on what everybody's doing currently?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. I try to consume all media. Like, I watch all kind of stuff.
Except for Dark Side of Comedy. It's too dark.
Except for Dark Side of Comedy. Yeah. Because even, like, E! True Hollywood Story, when I would see that gun in the little, like, you know, thing, I'd be, oh no, someone might get shot. You know, like I don't like dark side stuff like that. But I do have them recorded and documented, and I will check them out when I have time in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I love watching old stuff. I watch old Arsenio, I watch old Oprah on YouTube, old Letterman interviews. And I watch old specials, you know, every George Carlin special I can get my hands on, Richard Pryor, Damon Wayans, Robin Harris.
I watch a lot of the old Comic View clips that are on YouTube. That's always fun.
They had a run of giving people half hours.
Yeah.
So there's like in 93, I want to say, they like, so like there's a Don DC Curry half hour. There's a Monique half hour. I think there might be a Cedric the Entertainer half hour. And it's like a 20 minute set.
And how much of it did he steal from Cat Williams? Answer that question.
Cat was around.
Answer that question.
I'm not on anybody's side, but the side of truth. That's the only side that I'm on.
That's a really good Cat Williams impression. That was really good.
I'm only on the side of the truth. And, you know, only God knows who originated material. All material comes from my Lord.
Why are you so good at this?
I think that's what all black comics at my level do, is call each other and talk to each other like Cat Williams. Yeah.
That's how you got to get through the news. I try to watch, I mostly watch a lot of the old stuff. I try to watch all the new specials. There's just so many specials now. There's so many. Mm-hmm. And they're on so many platforms. But I try to get into everything, you know?
I like Mike Epps' special. I feel like of the older comedians, he's improving, and he's so different than me that I do like watching somebody, and like, he's so physical, he's so smooth, his footwork, you know, how he moves the mic from one hand to the other, how he acts out, and I watch him for like mechanics sometimes. It's like, oh man, that, you know, there's something that he has that it's almost like an athlete. Like he's not even thinking about how he's moving his body. And I get into trouble all the time when it's like, you know, me trying to do an act out and tripping on the mic cord and not having the stool in the right place.
Same.
And not being seamless with that.
Yeah,
type
not
of
just
stuff.
Being clean and with it. You're like unwrapping the cord and it's like, oh, come on.
It's never like he's thinking. It's just like pure, just like things are where they're supposed to be. And you didn't even notice that he, you know, as he works the room, he's doing things. I like the Donnell Rollins special.
I was going to say that one. I really like that one. I checked it out last weekend.
And I like that, you know, like, I think that a lot of specials have a serious tone now. I think a lot of people are kind of in a similar mode where they're like, I have to say something. I have to speak on something. And so I like the variety. I like that some specials are just like, this is a funny set.
Yep.
This is a fun
Here's
time.
The
other specials are like, this is a body of work. This is a cohesive body of work.
Yeah, know, this so. Is if this this is art, I guess, or performance mm-hmm, performance mm-hmm. art. Like this
performance
is
a, art.
Yeah, like yeah. this is LA. We see, you know, shows with clowns. Mm-hmm, they do it mm-hmm. all. Well, this has been so great. We are hitting the hour here. Are there any other shows you want to shout out? Any other specials? Obviously, everybody needs to go listen to Frontin' or go watch it on YouTube, which one gives you more money.
I guess if you guys are the masses, then watching it on YouTube. If you don't feel like you're the masses, then go ahead and
stream
come
it.
Up off that $9. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Then spend the money. Yeah.
Or you could do both. You could buy the album. And then it could play whenever you plug your phone into your car randomly. And you can still watch the special on YouTube.
I like this mix. anything else that you want to plug? Where can people follow you?
At Rob Hayes on everything. I finally got Rob Hayes from this guy on X.com that nice. Was holding on to it. And then Elon bought it, and I was scared that I had really wasted a lot of energy trying to get it back. But X.com was flourishing this week.
Yeah.
You know, Meta went down.
Meta went to Evan. Everybody came over, and it's like, yeah, we're still over here. We're still using this mm-hmm. trash bin of a site. Why would I ever stop? I got things to say about, right. you know, whatever dumb show I'm watching. And the only way to do it is Twitter.
right. Rob Hayes, R-O-B-H-A-Z-E. It's only 7 letters. I believe yeah. you can do it.
No, it's not hard to type at all.
Yeah, yeah. You can do it with one finger.
Right now, even if you're driving, mm-hmm. just go feel free. Don't do it if you're driving. Don't do that.
Don't do it if
I'm
you're
not
driving.
I'm not going to condone that.
At a green or yellow light.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Don't do that. Rob, thank you so much for joining me. This has been so fun.
Thanks for having me.
Your homework this week, listeners, go watch Extraordinary. I need everyone to watch it because I do need it to get renewed for a third season. And it's on Hulu, and they're always really weird about third seasons. And if it gets canceled, I'll cry. There's such a cliffhanger. I need another season. So please just go watch that show. And that's it. That's all I got for you.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I plug a show?
Yeah.
Love and WWE with Bianca and Montez. I've been watching that on Hulu, and you know, I'm gonna watch Extraordinary, but you know,
I've been seeing like this, it's been recommending it to me, and I've been like, I should probably watch it.
I'm not a wrestling person, but it's just enough wrestling for me to be like, this is how I want to consume wrestling as the C story of a reality show.
That sounds like exactly what I want. Yeah. that's why I watch Dark Side of the Ring. Is like, I want enough wrestling, but I also just want enough of a sad story that I don't need the wrestling. So
I only watch Dark Side of Comedy,
Dark Side of the Ring, Dark Side of Football.
Dark Side of the Moon.
Dark Side of Football was pretty okay, though, too.
They have Dark Side of Football.
Yeah, Dark Side. It's like, and it goes into like CTE. And
CT Entertainment.
Like,
right
there. Any footballer who killed somebody. And it's like, a lot of things are dark, it turns out. There's a lot of darkness.
Oh, man.
But go check all that out. Go listen to Frontin'. Go follow Rob. And yeah, we'll be back next week for another episode.
DVISA with Ashley Ray. Another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar and produced by Matt Apodaca. Our theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say, and let us know what you think. And tell your friends, family, anybody. We got a lot of TV recs for a lot of people.
For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.